Welcome to Torat Imecha Parsha. My name is Michal Horowitz, and today we will be studying Parshas Lechecha. Parshas Lechecha is very exciting, as is really the whole Sefer Bereishis. In Parshas Lechecha, we really begin to journey with Avram Avinu, who we met, if you recall, right at the end of Parshas Noach. So let me give you a Parsha summary of the topics in the Prakim of Parshas Lechecha. A lot happens in the Prakim from Perek Yud Beis through Perek Yud Zayin. In Perek Yud Beis, we begin to journey with Avram Avinu, who arrives in the land of Canaan. The famous command, Lechecha me'artzecha mimoladetcha mi'beis avicha al ha'aretz asher ha'eka, Avram Avinu is to leave his land and his birthplace and his father's home and to go to a new land where he will be for a blessing. Avram gets to the land. There is a famine in the land. Avram goes down to the land of Mitzrayim to escape the famine. Sarah is taken and ultimately released by Paro. In Perek Yud Gimel, Avram Avinu and Lot, his nephew, split ways. After they leave Egypt, they are wealthy, they have too much flock and cattle. There is quarrel between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot, and they split ways. In Perek Yud Dalet, there is a war, the first, what I call, first world war between the four kings and the five kings. In Perek Tesvav, we have the famous covenant between the pieces, the Bris Bein HaBesarim. In Perek Tes Zay, Avram Avinu takes Hagar. However, it does not work out well, and Sarah is demeaned and diminished in her eyes. Hagar is banished from the home, where she meets angels in the wilderness who promise her she will have a wild ass of a son, Para Adam Yado Bakol V'Yad Kolbo. Ultimately, Yishmael will be born. And in Perek Yud Zayin, Avram Avinu is commanded to do Bris Mila. He will have a name change from Avram to Avraham, ki Avhamon goyim nisaticha. He is now the father of the multitudes. His wife Sarai will become Sarah, and God promises that Yitzchak will be born. As you could see, it is a parasha full of a wealth of information and biblical narrative regarding our first patriarch, the founder of the Uma Yisraelis, Avram Avinu, his journeys along with Sarah and his nephew Lot. What is the connection between Avram Avinu and Lot? Well, right at the end of Parshas Noach, in Perek Yud Aleph, we are told about the family of Terach. Terach had three sons, Avram, Nachar, and Haran. Haran had a child named Lot, which means that Avram, the brother of Haran, is Lot's uncle. Haran died. In a sense, after Haran died, Avram Avinu, who is not yet Avram Avinu, who is just Avram, adopts his orphaned nephew Lot. So the connection between Avram and Lot is that Avram's brother Haran has died. Avram adopts Lot and takes him on his journey with him. I am going to share with you what might be an atypical Dvar Torah for Parshas Lechecha, but one that I think is very, very important, not focusing on lessons from the life of Avram, but rather focusing on Lot, his nephew. After Avram and Lot leave Egypt, right? We said that they go down to Egypt because there's a famine in the land. They are in Egypt for a certain period of time. Avram is very wealthy. Lot is very wealthy. And in Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13, we are told that Avram ascended from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot was with him. Avram was very wealthy with livestock, with silver, and with gold, and they journey. However, Lot also had flocks and cattle and tents, and they could not dwell together. They were too numerous and wealthy between their people and their animals and their possessions. And there was a quarrel between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot. Avram says to Lot, we should not have quarrel between us, between the two of us and between our shepherds, because we are brothers, we're uncle and nephew. How could we be quarreling? There's so much land before us. Let's split up. Where do you want to go? And what does Lot do? What does he lifts up his eyes and he sees the whole plain of the Yarden. It's a beautiful land. He sees Sodom and Amorah before their destructions, like the Garden of Hashem. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayivchar lo Lot is called Kikar HaYarden, Vayisa Lot Mikedam. Lot chose for himself the plain of the Yarden, and he journeyed from the east. Vayipardu ish me'alachiv. Each man split from his brother. Avram Yashav Be'eretz Canaan. Avram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis. Velo Yashav Be'arei HaKikar. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, Vayahal Ad Sodom. Keywords, chapter 13, verse 12, in Parshas Lech Lecha. Vaya ahal ad Sodom. Very interesting lashon. He tented, if I have to translate that literally, until Sodom. The next time we are told about Lot in juxtaposition to Sodom, where he chose to live, is in the very next perek in Lech Lecha, perek Yod Dalet. Lot, we know, is captured. He is taken captive in the war of the four kings and the five kings, which is why Avram goes to battle to rescue his nephew. But the Pasuk says, for purposes of our shir today, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayichu es Lot, the es Rechusho, they take Lot captive, they take Lot and his possessions, Ben Achi Avram, he was the son of Avram's brother, Vayelchu, and they went, Vuhu Yoshev Bisedom. Lot is dwelling in Sodom. So the first pasuk that we quoted in our parasha perek, Yud Gimel pasuk Yud Beis, tells us about Lot, Vayahal ad Sodom. Lot tented in Tol Sodom. The next time we meet him, perek Yud Dalet, pasuk Yud Beis, we are told, Vuhu Yoshev bi Sodom. He is living in Sodom. And finally, the third time we meet him, in Parshas Vayera, perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Aleph, the two malachim come to rescue Lot and his family from the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. And the Pasuk tells us, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Aleph, Vayavo Shnei HaMalachim Sodoma Be'erav, the two malachim that went to visit Avram Avinu, they leave Avram Avinu, they arrive in Sodom where Lot is living in the evening. Ve'lo Yavshev B'sha'ar Sodom. Lot is dwelling in the tents of Sodom. In the gates of Sodom. My mistake. Velo Yoshev, my mistake in translation. Velo Yoshev Bisha'ar Sodom. Lot at this point is dwelling in the gates of Sodom. And Lot sees the angels and he gets up to meet them and he bows down. What does Rashi say? What does it mean? Velo Yoshev Bisha'ar Sodom. Rashi says, also hayom, that very day, minuhu shofet al hashoftim. Lot was made the supreme court justice in Sodom. The first time we meet Lot again in juxtaposition to Sodom, when he chooses the land in 13 verse 12, vayahal ad Sodom, he tents in Tol Sodom. Perek Yudalad pasuk Yudbeis, vuhu yoshev bisodom. He is no longer tenting in Tol Sodom. He is dwelling in Sodom. And finally, Perek Yutas, Parshas Vayera, Pasuk Aleph, Velot Yoshev Bisha'ar Sodom. Lot is now dwelling in the gate of Sodom. Rashi says, what does that mean? He is now the Supreme Court Justice. He is the judge over all the judges. He has made it. He has reached the highest echelon of society. Lot is powerful. Lot is acknowledged as a leader of Sodom. What kind of place was Sodom? Well, the very next pasuk in our parsha, Parshas Lech Lecha, after we are told that Lot tented in Tol Sodom, the Torah makes it very clear that Sodom was a place of wicked sinners. And Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis, we are told that Lot tented in Tol Sodom. And the very next pasuk, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Gimel, tells us the Anshei Sodom Ra'im VeChataim VaHashem Meod. The people of Sodom were wicked and sinful to God very much. Rashi says Ra'im, they were wicked Begufam. Sinful with their bodies, wicked with their bodies. V'chata'im, sinful b'mamonam, with their money, with their property. Targum Onklus says similarly, v'anshei d'sidom bishin b'mimonhon. They were sinful and wicked with their money. V'chayavin b'giviyason. And they were chayav, they were liable with sins of their body. Kadam Hashem, before God. Everybody was aware that the people of Sodom and the environment of Sodom was one of promiscuity and wickedness, stinginess, cruelty, sinful and wicked with both money and property, and yet this is the very place that Lot chose to settle. What do we learn from the slight nuance in the Torah text? When we first meet Lot choosing Sodom, the Torah tells us, Vayahal ad Sodom. He tented in Tol Sodom. Next, the Torah tells us in Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Yudbeis, Parshas Lech Lecha, Vuhu Yoshev Bisodom. He is no longer tenting at the border of Sodom. He is in the city. And finally, Perek Yud Test, next week's Parsha, Pasuk Aleph. And that very day, Rashi says, Lot was appointed the chief Court Justice Vuhu Yoshev Bishaar Sidom. What does this come to teach us? I am going to quote again, as I did last week, from Rav Shmuel Golden. Don't worry, I plan to quote different sources as we journey through Parshas Bereishis, Sefer Bereishis together. But this is very, very important, very powerful, very impactful, and reminds us how nuanced the Torah is. The slight variation in terminology and letters is not an accident, of course, but comes to teach us a very profound lesson. Rav Shmuel Golden says, in the beginning, in Perek Yud Gimel, Lot is aware of the true nature of the city before him. He consciously tents at the border. He has one foot in the city and one foot out. What does it come to teach us? Vayahal ad Sodom. He believes he can live on the edge of Sodom without being affected by the evil. He will take the good parts of the area, of the territory, of the geography of the city, and he won't be affected by the bad. And yet the next time we meet him, Vuhu Yoshev Bisodom, he is living in Sodom. In Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Yud Beis, this chronicles an important transformation, writes Rabbi Golden. Lot is no longer at the edge of the city, he is in Sodom. He is comfortable, he is a full citizen within its borders. And finally, when the angels arrive, Lot is sitting Bishaar Sodom. The Torah here, says Rabbi Golden, is conveying a very significant point. Only specific people had the privilege of sitting in the gates of a city in biblical times, the elders, the officials. By now, Lot's transformation is complete. He is moved from the edge of the city, one foot in and one foot out, fully aware that the people are sinful and wicked and he should not be there as a nephew of the great Avraham Avinu. And he moves then into the center of the city, Vuhu Yoshev Bistom. He becomes comfortable with the promiscuity. He becomes immune to the danger. He becomes unaware of the sins. And finally, transformation complete, Lot becomes a respected elder of the evil city of Sodom. Quote, writes Rabbi Shmuel Golden, the man who felt he would be able to withstand the lure of the city has fallen prey to its power. What is the lesson? Lot is not evil, says Rabbi Golden. He is a weak man. He fails to recognize his own vulnerability. He believes he can withstand temptation from Sodom. The Torah is teaching us, you cannot live near Sodom, in our case, proverbial Sodom, and remain unchanged. Lot fails because he believes he can live in two worlds at once, the world of evil and the world of good, the world of stinginess of Sodom, and the world of kindness of Avraham Avinu. He believes he is strong enough to remain unaffected, but ultimately he becomes one of the elders of the wicked city. Ultimately, in Perek Yates, at the same time that he welcomes guests, the angels, into his home, he offers his virgin daughters to the mob who is banging down his doors. All because he chose to live in a place, or to tent unto a place, where the people were wicked and sinful with their bodies and their money. Rabbi Shmuel Golden says, what's the take-home lesson? We must be ever aware of the world that surrounds us. We must actively reject those elements of our surroundings that are incompatible with our own standards. One must not think or believe that they can immerse themselves in an environment of evil and remain unaffected. Asei lecha rav, k'nei lecha chaver. Say Chazal in Ethics of Our Fathers, Pirkei Avos, make for yourself a rabbi, acquire for yourself a friend. Environment is important. Al tifrosh min hatzibur, do not separate from the community. A positive environment will affect us positively, and a negative environment, God forbid, will affect us negatively. Through slight nuances and change in language, the Torah is warning us, do not become a lot, do not tent on the border of evil, because ultimately, that evil will move inside of us. Thank you for learning with me. Welcome to, I should say, have a good Shabbos from Torat Imecha Parsha. My name is Michal Horowitz. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful week. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue next week. Thank you all very much.